The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. It's Friday. Hope you had a reasonable day today. Dean Henderson is standing by, hopefully sitting somewhere by in South Dakota. Hello, Dean. Are you there? Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can, my friend.
Welcome back. How you been? All right?
Yeah, doing all right. How about you, man?
It, one day at a time, brother. I'm still scratching my head about, well, hell, I scratch my head about a lot of things. But one of the things that just doesn't make sense, and I'm not knocking Russia or anything, but I just do not understand that Russia, with the world's right now foremost combat-ready, combat-capable military, can't knock off a country that is allegedly on its last legs and has been for the last year. Why are all the lights on in Odessa, Kharkov, Kiev, Lviv, shopping malls open, recreational? What is this? Electricity, water running? Is this war? Or are they just playing games, killing people on the line of conflict? The Russians ought to be able to end this in a matter of a couple of days. I'm serious. It may get ugly. But this crap, this drain, the Russians have lost almost 50,000 young men dead. We know how much the Ukrainians have lost, probably a million. And here's another story. As you know, Dean, and many of you listening know, the Americans are deeply involved in NATO. They're running AWACS-type planes all the time over the Black Sea, elsewhere. Satellites are doing their thing. So today, again, Ukraine is claiming, and apparently it's true, shot down another large AWACS-style Russian surveillance and spy plane. This over the right near the Sea of Azov, which is south of Crimea, I believe, southeast. Anyway, they shot it down. I don't know how many people were on board, probably 20, 30. State of the art. And it just, this has to stop, Dean. And I've made this suggestion, maybe it's infantile, really stupid, I don't know. I'm not a military strategist or tactician. But if the Russians wanted to win the war, they simply give 36 hours notice to Kharkov, Odessa, Kiev. You get the city emptied out, they're going to be leveled. That's it. We're done with this. We're finished. Get them out of there. You got 36 hours. People would run, walk and crawl to get out of those cities. And then you go in and you just level them. That's how you win the war. If you're really out to win a war, this World War I crap is really getting old. Not much has changed, though. They took down Avdiivka. That's okay, I get it. Bakhmut was taken down after a very bloody fight, and that was Prigozhin's operatives. His troops did it. Anyway, so what do you think? What the hell is wrong with Shoigu, Gerasimov, and the Russian military that they can't go in and stomp on this bug? It's a cancer, and it needs to be removed. I don't understand it. You have any thoughts on that? And again, I apologize to all you military veterans out there and so forth. I'm not a pro, but I just do not get this World War One style crap. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It's a really good question. I mean, yeah, and I've heard there's rumors now that Dnipro has fallen too, but you're not hearing much about that, but it could be true. And that's very key location if it's true. But yeah, I listened to Tucker Carlson's interview. I'm sure a lot of your listeners did. And the one thing that stuck in my mind that Putin said, he was talking about how the U.S. basically was digging a hole, burying itself, and how it was going to happen would be economically. So I think one of the reasons that this is happening slowly, and, you know, the Russians have tried to avoid civilian casualties, you have to acknowledge. I mean, they're just, you know, Ukraine just keeps sending waves and waves of, you know, now they're like 70-year-old guys and
oh, it's obscene.
Disabled people.
What's going on?
13-year-olds.
This is a Christian,
yeah.
It's a Christian Holocaust.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's horrible. And, of course, we both know that what fuels that is the arms coming from NATO, not Putin. But
right.
I think he's really counting on an economic victory. And that will be the military victory. In other words, you know, Putin talks about denazification. So, you know, that was the other thing that stuck out in that interview. He said at the beginning of the war, that's the goal, denazification. Very clearly, that was his number one goal, denazification, right?
That's
so
right.
So they've attacked the Azov Battalion, and they've attacked all these crazy, you know, Stefan Bandera people, and now I think they're realizing, well, it just permeated the whole society, and they're all, you know, there's so many Nazis in Ukraine now and that really believe that stuff. And so, you know, what was interesting was, he said, we'll leave when it's done, when the denazification is done. And then you expand that out and you go, well, gee, there's Nazis there, but actually there's also Nazis in Washington running the world and in London running the world.
Thank you, Dean. You got it.
So what is that? When does it end? Or in his mind, does that mean that we're not going to stop till we take those people down?
I don't know what that means. That's an interesting question to ponder.
It is. And the way he said it was just really interesting. But also, yeah, the fact that, you know, look, the U.S. is $35 billion, you know, trillion dollars in debt. U.S. Standard of living plummeting. European standard of living plummeting. Russia now the number five economy in the world in terms of purchasing power. But the number one European, if you consider a European country, it's ahead of any other European country in terms of purchasing power. Before the war, they were like in the 20s. Right? Before the sanctions, before the stupidity of this economic folly, which is what this really is. See, now all the while the BRICS are getting their stuff together. You know, Venezuela just announced that they're going to join BRICS. Maduro's, taking a stance against Guyana, which is an old British crown drug trafficking nexus. And still is, and was created by the British, carved out of Venezuela when they attacked them and just took it. There's all kinds of things going on economically in the world. And I really think part of the why he's like, okay, you want to take your time, you want to send more arms, you want to bankrupt your economies even further, you want to do these sanctions against us, which are boomeranging and actually hurting you because you're too stupid to know it, I guess, or is somebody just attacking this country, maybe the crown, just wants to take it down, America. But at any rate, I think he's perfectly content to go very slow. And, yeah, it sucks because the Ukrainians just keep sending waves of guys. I mean, the Russians, they're just kind of waiting and just, you know, putting their minefields in, and the guys rush them and boom, and then once in a while they'll take a little more territory. I think they're bleeding us economically, and I think he knows that very well. And so I think that might be the answer to your question. And it ain't pretty. Okay, yeah. I mean, everybody was born.
Yeah. I think ultimately, you're correct. This country's entire economy and financial paradigm is going down. We know that.
Yep.
However, that's time. If I were in the Russian military, I would never be in the Russian. But if I were, I would think. And knowing that Russians have the same basic values that Americans used to have, let's be honest,
yeah, right,
if I were walking through the trench lines and looking at the broken bodies of women, old men, I wouldn't take any delight at all in killing those people, no. Knowing that they don't want to be there. They've been conscripted and forced in there with no training. This Zelensky regime is really, that's satanic as it gets.
It's right. Yeah, I mean, exactly. As satanic as it gets, they need to be crushed, completely crushed. And we'll just see what happens. But I really think, look, Putin knows that if he just, maybe if he does that, these inbreds go nuclear. Maybe if he, just crushes the whole country. But on the other hand, if he doesn't, if he's restrained and he just waits them out, and of course the Russian troops, you feel bad for them too. Yeah, they have to see this horrific stuff. By the way, he is treating them really good when they get home. I mean, he's giving
the veterans
preference.
45,000 dead, at least. Dead.
Yeah, no,
we don't know how many wounded there are. Probably several hundred thousand. Could be a couple hundred thousand. I don't know. But the slow train to victory, I understand the tactics. I understand the idea, the psychology, the philosophy, the theory. I get all that, believe me. But if you look at that line of conflict now as opposed to a year ago, there's not a whole hell of a lot of difference. The Russians are still taking back right now, the Russian military still taking back some of the areas that the early counteroffensive from Kiev captured. They haven't returned the lines fully to where they were before the counteroffensive, which was beyond belief bloody.
Yeah.
So I just don't understand the tactics. I think there's a problem, and I think the problem was that Prigozhin was right. I think he showed the way that things ought to be done. You go in and you clean this enemy out, and I think that's why somewhere in the Russian political apparatus, the decision was made to kill Prigozhin and his chief of staff and so forth. That ended the Wagner group, and that was it. That was at the time, according to people over there that I know, the world's best, most capable, small fighting army. They were just awesome, and they weren't all prisoners. That's all BS. They had recruiting stations all over Russia, 200 of them, I think, and they were getting volunteers all the time. Prigozhin was murdered because he was showing Shoigu up. He embarrassed them. That's my take, and I'm sitting. I got fairly good powers of observation, but Prigozhin was a problem, and he had to go, and they killed him. That's my idea. You never know anymore.
Yeah, that is a lot of games going on. There's a lot of, they're dealing with satanic, Luciferian, evil Anunnaki crown wizards.
They are.
And so they also know there's a possibility that other fronts could open. They also know that, it's just like in Israel. Why is Hamas, why doesn't Iran intervene? 30,000 Palestinians dead. Why doesn't Iran do more? Why don't they go in and just stop it? Why doesn't the Arab country step up? Why doesn't? But again, look what's happened. The longer it happens, and it's tragic. God, it's just unbelievable that this can even happen in this era. The longer it goes on, the more, there's 59 countries now that are on board with South Africa at the International Court of Justice.
That's good to hear. I didn't know it was that high. Good.
Yeah. Well, I watch Al Jazeera, and it's a good thing to watch because they're not the best station, but they really are reporting as well. And
I agree.
I've been watching
it
a lot lately. And so the longer this goes on, the more Israel exposes itself. The longer the Ukraine goes on, the more the United States exposes itself. And NATO exposes itself to the rest of the world for what it really is. And that's the only way we're ever going to win. And is people have to wake up to the fact that these things are pure evil, that they're not messing around, that they are willing to, kill babies, kill women, bomb ambulances, bomb refugee camps, bomb hospitals, the Red Crescent Society.
I couldn't agree more.
Corner the Palestinians and just off and lie to them and then smoke them when they run away and smoke them on the way to the food trucks. And everybody sees this.
That whole country, really, I'm sorry to say it, and there are some good people there, but it needs to be decertified. It's just got to be taken
to a different
place. Yeah,
that's, but Hamas is, and the others are saying
Netanyahu is
we don't
a
want
lunatic.
A two-state solution. We're not interested in a two-state solution. You know, the United Nations and all your soft talkers, the fake liberals or whatever they are, oh, yeah, we want a two-state solution. We want to help the Palestinians. They don't want a two-state solution. They want a one-state Palestine, and Israel can get the fuck out of there and leave. And that's the Ashkenazis. The Ashkenazis, that's who that is.
These
are the people who, the Khazarian mafia before that, these are the people who got run out of Khazaria by the Russians in 1200 AD because they were eating babies and, you know, pedophiles and taking the...
Well, what Gene is saying is true also. Gene is not exaggerating, okay? Do your history.
No,
it's all there. You can find
it. And they said, look, take one of three religions or our kids are going missing at our Russian border here. We just, you're stealing our children. You're doing bad things. You know, these are the Babylonians. Okay, let's go back another step. These are the Babylonians. These are the people who built the Tower of Babel. These are the people who developed religion, spirituality, all these crazy things that people were supposed to believe instead of just observing and understand the nature of reality instead. How about? And then you go back another step, and yes, these are the Sumerians, and these are the Anunnakis, the fallen angels, the Nephilim. And I think the Anunnaki and the fallen angels are the same thing. And I think the Nephilim were cast out of heaven, including Lucifer, into Samaria. That's what that is. That's what I think that is. Increasingly, I think it's exactly the same thing. And then they go to Babylon, and then they go to Egypt. But Babylon is the branch that went to Khazaria. Russians said, look, in 1200 AD, he said, look, you take one of three religions, because we know you're Satanists, we know you're bad people, based on the Talmud, based on this book of filth that you wrote in Babylon, and we know you're hiding behind it. And so they picked Judaism. He said, pick Islam, pick Christianity, or pick Judaism. Which one you want to do? They picked Judaism. So the Russians let them alone for a while. About 50 years later, didn't help. And all their other neighbors were mad, too. You know, in every other country, the Turks, the Georgians, everyone. They were like, what the hell is wrong with you people? So the Russians went in and just crushed them and did like a 15-year war and sent them packing. And where'd they go next? Bohemia. They went to Bohemia and they became the Bohemians. And we're supposed to think it's so cool to be a Bohemian. Oh, it's so cool. Bohemians were brutal, you know, and cut your hair, take a freaking shower, you know what I mean? And then go to, where they go from there? Well, they go to Eastern Europe, and they caused trouble again, and everyone hated them. And they intermarried with the crown at that point and became the crown, became the same thing as the crown. And the Rothschilds were the Baccarats in Khazaria, and then they became the Bauers, and then they worked for the House of Hesse, the German crown, and probably stole a bunch of money, cut a deal, whatever. And then they became the Rothschilds. And then they became the bankers of the crown. And, you know, then they became the crown because they're interbred with the crown now. And then they did the Balfour Declaration, 1917, Lord Walter Rothschild, a letter to Lord Balfour, planning this way ahead of time. Same year as the Russian Revolution, right? Interesting. And then, of course, World War II was just, you know, there was a guy named Rosenbaum, who was Hitler's Secretary of Emigration. And it took $1,000. If you had $1,000, the Zionists could line up. And this guy was Jewish, obviously. Rosenbaum was a Jewish person that worked for Hitler. Okay, get it? And then they paid him $1,000, and those people went into Israel and became the Nakba, became the Stern Gang, the Haganah, the terrorist groups that went into Palestine and just murdered people.
Late 1940s, brutal times there, horrible things.
Brutal times. The British backed them. The power of the British Navy was behind them because that was British Palestine. This is all a British thing, see, all a crown thing. In the end, it's all United Kingdom idea. And so, they forced themselves, and it was only the rich Jews. So who died in the Holocaust? You know, well, poor people. There was some Jews, a lot of Jews, sure. There was gypsies,
Drake's,
there was communists,
the Holocaust
there was
Chinese, a whole
there was
series of connected
series.
Labor camps. Labor
people.
Used for the war effort.
Yes, used for Ford, used for GM, used for Hoechst and Bayer and E.G. Farben and all these conglomerates that were making a lot of money and still do off war. Exactly. So they were used as slave labor, and then they were expendable, and it was just, you know, and so then they made it a thing where, oh, yeah, it's a homeland for Jews, and it's not. It's just a place in the Middle East where the Ashkenazis run the show, and they do it for who? For the crown, for the Royal Dutch Shell, mainly, and British Petroleum. Okay, you want to get right down to it. That's what they do it for, because they got to keep the Arabs stirred up. They got to crush the nationalist Arabs. They got to crush the Gaddafis, the Saddams, the Algerians, the Iranians, anybody that says, no, we're going to nationalize our oil, you can't have it. Or you have to pay us a fair share, and you can't just suck it out of the ground and ship it to the West and make all the profits off it on our backs at a dollar a day, the wages you pay us. That's what they paid the Yemenis in Saudi Arabia. Why? I think the Yemenis got pissed off and said, look, it's war now, baby, because they got screwed by the Saudis for like 40 years working for Aramco for a dollar a day, and they were imported. And so they went back, and they started South Yemen, a Marxist government, and said, screw you. And then that got destroyed by the CIA, and then they merged into Yemen, and then here we go again, 30 years later, and then you have the Houthis, you know, emerge, and the Houthis pretty much the same thing for the working people, for the working stiffs, and they're doing a hell of a job. They're sinking ships like they're going out of style in the Gulf of Aden right now, in the Red Sea, and that doesn't get reported, but on Press TV it does, and they sank a bunch of UK Navy ships yesterday. There's a lot going on we don't hear about. And this is a war, and this is already World War III. Honestly, Jeff, it's already happening. We're going to look back in history books, even though it's his story. Right. You know, and they try to lie about his story because who's his? I don't know, but it's already here, and it's already happening. And I think everybody knows it on that end of it, on the other side of it, and they realize that yeah, we got to be careful with these people. They're nuts. Their last card is thermonuclear. They don't. What cards do they have left? They're being exposed. They're being exposed by the whole world, people like us. It's happening. The great remembering, the great awakening, it's happening. It's happening. And in a lot of ways, we're winning the information war, which is just shocking because they have all the money. They have all the media. They have everything just to throw at people and lie to them. And yet, I know we're winning because I just, every day, there's people waking up every day. And it's something bigger than us that's going on here. It's a God thing. So
way
they know
bigger.
On the other side, yeah, way bigger. They know on the other side they got to be real patient and real careful. And I know it's tragic. People are dying. It's horrible. And I don't know what the answer is, but I just want to see them taken out whatever way necessary. These people that run our country and run the UK.
I think the world is... honestly think that they're kind of... They control everything so thoroughly. They don't really care much what people think of them right now. They're just doing what they want to do. And they got Israeli real estate companies have already carved up the beachfront property in Gaza, and they're putting it on the market. They're selling it. Beachfront view lots and custom homes in Gaza. Did you see that story?
I did.
Yeah,
I've
okay.
been talking about
there
it in interviews.
I mean,
crazy.
They just don't care. They're that
they have
arrogant.
No scruples.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they don't care about
all right,
human
hold on.
Life.
No, none. Hold on a sec. We'll be right back with Dean Henderson right after this. Okay, let's get back to our sit-down time with Dean Henderson. There's another story just in here that... This border catastrophe crisis, all contrived, as everybody knows, is not getting the amount of Zionist press news attention it should. It's just kind of been accepted now in the so-called mainstream media as a fait accompli. It is what it is. Nobody's talking about it. Meanwhile, here, get this one. 6.5 tons of meth... amphetamine was apprehended by the Border Patrol in Eagle Pass, I guess that's Texas. This the biggest haul at a port of entry ever. And if they say they get less than 10% of it on average, it all just comes in. This stuff is just pouring into the country. 6.5 tons in one bust. Look, we literally no longer have the right to call ourselves a nation state, a country. Because we have no border. It's like a cell with no membrane. You got no border, you got, what are you? So this whole thing contrived, obviously forced on the American people. I understand the idea that people deserve a chance to better their lot in life. I get that. But when they come over here and they get, on average, $40,000 a year, a $5,000 debit gift card, and now New York City is giving a $10,000 fully charged up debit card to every illegal there. It's like this is called organized suicide. We're killing ourselves with this behavior.
Yeah, and I got an epiphany on this one too the other day, and I just kind of happens to be
lay it on me.
It just comes out,
I'm ready.
Comes out of the blue. Okay, so yeah, we know it's the meatpacking jobs, or you know, they need them. They need cheap labor to drive down wages, all that stuff.
Yeah.
We know they want us to hate them, and they want them to hate us, and so it's a divide and conquer thing. And we know the Venezuelans have emptied their prisons and sent them north, and you can't blame them because we've messed with their country and assassinated one of their presidents.
I understand.
Not very long ago, Chavez.
I understand.
So you can't blame them for emptying their prisons. So, but on the other, and then the drugs, of course, are huge. I mean, the human trafficking's huge, and I know right where one of those meth routes go. It goes right up through Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. And I know the other routes, too, and there's about six of them. And it's all controlled by the Masons, and it's all also involving child trafficking. It's involving foster care homes. It's involving, you know, the abduction of children. And it's the CIA that runs the entire Mexican drug trade. I mean, you know, they help the Sinaloa cartel. That's always been their boys. And now they get this other cartel on the Pacific side that they help, too. So why are they doing it? Well, all those things. But here's another one. What about this? What about they know we're going to World War III? What about they know our military can't recruit anybody because nobody wants to fight for a bunch of tranny generals and a screwed up military and, you know, all this stuff, right? So what about this? What about here's your room with the hill, and here's your debit card, and here's your free medical care, and we give them all that stuff, right? And then what about Schumer even alluded to it the other day. He actually alluded to this like 2 days after I thought of it. Sometimes that happens, and it's like he was talking about how, yeah, these immigrants, they're going to owe us something. Well, what they're going to owe us is they're going to be the cannon fodder. They're going to be the frontline cannon fodder. They're going to say, look, we gave you all this stuff. Now you have to go in the military and fight. That's what I'm starting to think, is that they're actually flooding this country with immigrants for that reason as well, because they're just expendables. They hate these people. They hate them worse than they hate us.
I totally understand, and I've thought about a similar, and I think you're onto something here. The other side of it is we've got all these Chinese in here, 5.5 million of them, and 100,000 across the border. They're obviously PLA,
that's
CCP.
Yeah.
That's a problem. You got a million?
That's a problem.
It's a big problem. Now, these
that's another deal.
Third worlders coming in here, I don't see that. They're not going to be organizable easily.
Right.
It's going to take a lot of time
Chinese,
to organize them, teach them, train them.
Yeah.
The Chinese are ready to go.
They're ready to go, and they're doing it. And the other thing about that is, I was going to ask you, did you guys have a big AT&T outage today? Or yesterday and today?
No, I don't know. I don't deal with AT&T, but I didn't hear anything.
Okay, because here, I'm in the South right now still, and it's out over the entire region. And then I call my mom in South Dakota, and it's out up there. So something's going on. My mom just finished my last book, and she's like, I think they're putting out 5G towers, and you know, and it could be, or maybe the Chinese threw us an EMP, and we don't even know it. Maybe this is the beginning of something big. We don't know. But this is big, because AT&T apparently is having all these outages, and this is current. This is, you know, just happened yesterday. It started. My sister alerted me to it. That's what I was asking. And if you don't have AT&T, you wouldn't know. But I'm just curious if it's nationwide or if it's just the middle of the country, all the way up South Dakota or what. But anyway, no, the Chinese, look, that's the other thing. Yeah, the Chinese all the time, that's how they do stuff. I mean, they don't do overt stuff. They do covert stuff. And we don't even know what they do because the CIA has been cleaned up and kicked out of that country. I mean, there's very few people in the CIA that are able to get into China because they have such a good counterintelligence operation. And so we don't really know what's going on in China. We don't know. But I guarantee you one thing, they're stealthy, and they'll do things like that. And I think I told you one time on this program, but I'll tell you again, I had this epiphany back in 1997, and Jill and I were living in the van with our two dogs, traveling the country, seeing all the parks. and hiking and just having a great time. And so I got, this is the first time they tried to kill me. I was in a, they sabotaged my van, broke down, had to take Jill and the dogs. You know, it was like they blew my head gasket, so I had to basically turn it on, turn it off, keep it from overheating totally so I didn't blow the motor. Got them to, got them to a room in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Went back, dealt with the van, and then I had to hitchhike back because the van at that point was kaput. And they'd actually saw it through my motor mount to make, you know, that's how I, that's why I was overheating. It wasn't head gasket.
You saw, saw it?
They saw it.
You saw the motor mount.
The mechanic showed it to me in Deming. Yeah, because we were in Silver City, and that's all downhill to Deming, luckily. So it started smoking, and I just turned the motor off and coasted into Deming. And I pulled into a shop, and they said, wow, what the hell is this? And I said, they said, how'd that happen? And I looked at it, and I said, I have no idea. But they took a metal saw, and they literally cut through a motor mount, and the whole front end of the radiator and everything just fell and caused it to unhook and whatever. So, so I hitchhiked back. When I was hitchhiking back, I got picked up by this guy, and he reminded me of my dad. And I just had this epiphany because we were west of the Continental Divide just because Lordsburg is where the divide goes through. And I just had this epiphany, don't ever go west of the divide again. And it had something to do with the Chinese. Mm-hmm. Had something to do with the Chinese because that's the closest, right, to the Chinese.
Interesting. Okay.
Then I get back, just real quick to finish it, then I get back to my hotel. And we got a weekly hotel. We were sitting there watching, on Sunday. It was Sunday. I think we were watching the Vikings game. And all of a sudden, boom, and the whole room just shook, and just our ears hurt, and the dogs were howling, and it was like, what the shit? And so this was December 31st, 1999. It was the day before the millennium, the 2000.
Y2K,
Y2K, and they'd already had this story up at Bellingham area, Washington, where this Arab had gotten caught crossing the border with these explosives and da-da-da. And so anyway, the rooms were misnumbered, so we should have been in 13, but it's actually 14 because it went 12, 14, 13. So obviously they bombed the wrong room because the room next to us just burst into flames and blew into flames. It was on fire. And some guy staggers out of there, and I had to go cover him with the blanket, and he didn't make it. And the next day in the paper, in the El Paso paper, the closest big paper, they said, oh, yeah, there was a Arab terrorist killed in Las Cruces, and before he could bomb, you know, whatever. Well, I saw the guy, and he was Mexican. He wasn't Arab. And they were trying to kill me. I know they were. So I told Jill, I said, put the dogs on a leash. We're hitchhiking El Paso in an unmarked, an undetectable vehicle. I said, who's got guns? She said, my dad. I said, we're going to your dad's. And we got a one-way rental car with National, and we drove the frickin' New Orleans area. And that all happened. And anyway, it was just, and that was the first time they tried to do me in. And there was a second time on the Zimbabwe-South Africa border where they stuck a needle in between my toes, and I had 107 fever for a while, and that was a border crossing. That's when you're vulnerable. Your passport has a chip in it.
Yeah, you had some protection on that one, for sure.
I always do, because I believe in Jesus and God and all that good stuff, and that's the hell of it. So that's why I still think we're winning. But no, anyway, I don't know where that even came from. But the Chinese, I guess, and how, I don't know. I just have a bad feeling that, they're infiltrating this country right now, big time.
Let me lay this out for you. You probably already know it, but again, all of our dear listeners, forgive me for bringing this up again, but it's very important. We have allowed communist CCP and PLA people to come into this country for since Obama, okay? They're communists. They come here. They come legally. There are 5.5 million Chinese CCP PLA members living here right now. It's a fact. 5.5 million. So if they only gathered 20%, let's say 1 million man and woman army out of the 5.5 million nationalist Chinese who are here now, if they only put 1 million together in a combat mode and then broke those up into teams of 10 commandos, 10-member teams, all commandos, The team is 10, and they give them a target, substation in Gallup, New Mexico, right? In Lansing, Michigan. They send them out. Do you know how many teams of 10 commandos a million-man army would create here right now? It's 100,000. 100,000 teams of 10-member commando squads that could be sent all over the country to take out bridges, water, power, sewer, all of it. They could. I think they could take this country down from within in a matter of a couple days, 3 days.
I think that's what's coming. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, Dean, that's
know,
no joke.
I know. No, I agree. You're totally right. And I think it's, look, they get the word, it's going to happen, and it's going to be ugly. And this is, again, part of this thing that's going on. But, and again, this is why I say, well, how could you be that stupid to be $35 trillion in debt, have record credit card debt among your people? People are paying for food and rent with credit cards because they can't even, they have no money in their pocket right now, nobody. And how could you be, well, okay, what if they're not that stupid? What if somebody is actually trying to destroy the United States of America? Because guess what? They hate Russia. They hate America. Why? Because we fought the bastards. We fought the British Crown in the War of Independence. Yeah, it wasn't perfect the way it came out because there was Freemasons involved and you derailed it, but we still fought them. Now, why do they hate the Russians? Oh, because they crushed the Khazarian Mafia. Guess who that is? Oh, the people that run the world. And they'll never forget that. And the Russians also helped us during the Revolutionary War and during the Civil War, and they saved our asses. They saved our asses. They went after Emperor Maximilian, who was running Mexico at the time. He was a Habsburg, right? And they crushed
nobody
him.
Nobody knows that. Thank you for
nobody
mentioning
knows
it.
That.
You're right.
Nobody knows that
you're
because
totally
we wanted
right.
because why? Because the Southern Democrats wanted to turn Mexico into another slave colony in the entire Caribbean. You know, the Jim Crow stuff. And they don't know that. And they also don't know that the Russians intervened and against British Navy ships that were coming across to arm the South, because the British were all behind the South. They were, the Rothschilds backed the whole Confederacy. And the Russians destroyed British ships coming with arms to America during the Civil War.
Interesting.
And that happened in the Revolutionary War, too, where they went against the French in Canada because they were trying to help the British because they're a crown, too. They're a crown country, too. They have a king around that country at the time. And on and on. But they hate Russia. But really, it's a Khazarian Mafia thing. They'll never, see, these people never forget. That's why they hate Haiti, because Haiti was the place where the free slaves went. And they actually fought their masters, and they went to Haiti, and they became free. And they said, "Come here, if you're a slave, we'll protect you." And to this day, they punish Haiti. They punish them. They own this place called La Vida, and it's in the north part of the island. The U.S. leases this little piece of Haiti. People don't know this, and they lease this small area, and it's from there that they run all the drugs, because Haiti's halfway between Miami and Colombia, right? Yeah, yep. It's the transshipment point. So what do? They killed Aristide. Well, they made Aristide look crazy, and he was decent, the Lavalas family party. That could actually help that country. And then here comes another, and then, okay, take it over the drug gangs, the CIA gangs. Yeah, that's who they are. And then here comes this next president in Haiti, and what's he do? He says, "I won't take your vaccination." One of three countries that wouldn't take it, right? And so he was assassinated. And so was the guy in Tanzania, and so was the guy in, there was a third
six,
African
six heads
country.
Of state in Africa.
Maybe there were six of them,
it.
Yeah, there were more than that, yeah. There you go, and they were all dead, right? And Haiti was one of them, so here comes the drug gangs again. And then what do you have now, the drug gangs? Being run from Labadie in North Haiti, where the U.S. leases that area, has like a 60-year lease, and that's where all the dirty stuff happens. Just like in Guantanamo Bay, they use that the same way. And so, yeah, and so they hate America, they hate Russia, and their biggest thing is to keep us divided. If Russia and America ever were united, we could crush the crown. We could crush the Anunnaki, you understand? We could crush them, right? You do understand, but I want your listeners to understand that we could crush them, and this is what needs to happen. But that's why Russiagate, Russia, everything, because they have the Anglo crown-controlled press has to convince Americans to hate Russia. Yeah, they have to. And also, get this, where's Khazaria? Oh, kind of right around Ukraine. So are they trying to bring back their old Khazarian empire? Yeah, it's possible.
Looks like it to me. It's geographically perfect.
Me.
Yeah.
And the way they act,
right,
and the way they act.
And remember
the Satanists.
Two things. one, back to Mexico for a minute, then over to Ukraine. I got to know the editor of a Mexican newspaper, published in Mexico. I think it was Mexico City. I didn't know him well, but I had him on the program here actually as a guest twice, I think. And he told me on air and off air, he said, nobody knows this. He asked me, he said, do you know who owns Mexico? Who runs Mexico? He said, the Jews. He said, they're all European origin, crown, Bolshevik, Zionist, Habsburgs. Jews.
Yeah,
they're
right.
All there.
Who are Jews? Yeah.
He said that. That's
Jews.
Exactly what he said. And if you look at the hierarchy of the Mexican government and you do a little study on the names and background, the names tell the story. All right, so that's one.
Right.
Number two, the Maidan and the overthrow, the coup d'etat, we with Vicky Newland, we did it at the expense of the Ukrainian people, has destroyed that country. The so-called government in there now, and most Americans don't know this because they're not told, it's all Zionist. The whole damn
Zelensky.
Government is virtually, come on, all of it. And then you ask yourself the biggest question. If that weren't true, wouldn't Zelensky and all these people have been assassinated, removed? Why is Zelensky still alive? Because he's part
Zelensky,
of the tribe.
Kodorkovsky. Yeah. They're all Jews.
Exactly.
They're the same as the Bolsheviks. They were the Khazarian mob, too.
They're
all Jews.
Same.
And that's why Stalin just did a man. You know, and think what you want about it. But I don't know either. But, I mean, yeah. No, and so, no, that's it. That's it. So it's the new Khazaria we're dealing with. And
I think they've talked about it. They call it Greater Israel. That's part of it.
Yeah, and they call it Greater Israel. Yeah, and that's the southern branch. And if you look at it on the map, they could pretty easily connect that whole region and run the world from there.
I concur.
And that's what they want to do. And that's what they want to do. And even Zig
Netanyahu's
Brzezinski,
Zig
Brzezinski, another fake Ashkenazi Nazi Satanist. Because, see, Nazis and Ashkenazis are the same. That's why it's Ashkenazi, mm-hmm. It's etymology. They just laugh at us. We're so stupid.
All in,
we don't even
it's
see
in
what's
the words.
Right in front of
it's
us.
Right there.
It's right in front of you, man. And Ashken was also some crazy. I don't remember. I came across the other day. It's some ancient biblical bad bunch of people. Anyway, and I don't know the details, but this is what's going on, and this is the end game, and this is why, the other side, who's the other side? But I just think the Chinese thing is interesting, because I think that's really what's going on, is somebody...
Oh, they would have no problem massacring us. They don't like us.
They have
no,
they hate us. They hate us so
that's
bad.
Right.
They hate us so bad. They let
so
us
they're
be
here.
Free, I think. They're here.
Let them
they're
in.
Here.
This
they're
could,
here.
It, see,
yeah.
It could happen. And as far as weapons, where are they going to get the weapons? They don't know. They don't have to break into the National Guard armories. The weapons are already here. If this is on the on the playing board, the big board, the weapons are here. They came in Costco shipping containers over a period of 10, 15
Costco,
years. They're already pre-positioned all over the country. I think this thing, if it's going to happen, the organization's already done. It's done. They're ready to go.
It's all they're waiting for is the word.
I think you're right.
And that's what, I've heard,
I don't
too.
Know,
is,
but it's all there.
There's stuff in the old Masonic literature talks about, when you get the word, hell breaks loose, we're going to create hell on earth. The word is coming. The word is coming. So we have to know that and get ready and try to expose them before it happens. And, some days I'm like, we're winning, and the next day I'll be like, we're getting our ass kicked because this is unstoppable. I don't really know, and it doesn't really matter. It's just, we just got to keep going. But I think I just know God's more powerful than Satan. I do know that. And I do know that. So I know that in the end, whether me and you make it through, or maybe the whole world has to go away, or I don't know. But I know in the end, it's going to be okay. I just always know that because I have faith, And that's really what keeps me going, And if you look at the news headlines and if you talk to the average citizen, out to lunch.
It's not inspiring. No.
Not inspiring. inspiring. It's not going to be any good, so maybe don't do it. So that's what I try not to do. I try not to listen to the mainstream news. I try not to talk to too many people. When
stay
I do, I just come at them like a banshee, and I'm like, did you know this, that, the other? See you later, bye. Got to go. But I don't even wait for a response. I'm just teaching people. I'm just teaching and moving on. And I can't get attached to them. I can't get involved with them. I don't want to get involved with them. I just try to teach and move on. And that does happen a lot to me, just in weird places, even here where I'm at now. I mean, just random people I've just met, and they're just like, whoa, really? Okay, so I got to one more person. So, okay, that's all you can do. But I
that's
don't
a nice feeling.
Generally go out
one.
In public, but when I do, that's my approach. I just have to open the faucet and just, here it is, see you later. And then it wears me out, of course, but...
It is tiring, no question.
It
takes a lot of energy.
You know that.
When you start hearing...
Energy, so, yeah.
When you hear how far behind many of these people are, and it's
scary.
It's very good, but that they want to know, but my God, you have to go back to elementary school with them sometimes.
I know.
To get them on the right road,
and
unless they're willing and able to follow that path, they're not going to make it. They're way behind.
You can skip a lot of steps, and if you just cut to the chase, they're like, oh, that was simple. You know what I mean? Because they're so confused. But you just skip to the, you don't need to just cut to the chase and say three or four things, but it's exhausting. Just what we do, man, right? Right, brother?
I hear you.
I'm a shock therapist. A shock therapist, you know.
That's funny.
I tell people. I shocked the shit out of them. Just go, whoa.
Well,
okay,
you've saved a lot of people, I'm sure. You turned them in the right direction. Just one, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It is fine. It's better than none. And we just got to stay on the right side of this thing. And I know that you and me always will, and your listeners too. And that's all we can do. You know, you don't worry about the outcome. It's not about the outcome. It's about the spirit of the fight and your spirit.
That's right.
And where are you going after this whole shit show ends?
Well, there is something after this shit show
ends.
There is, for sure.
There is, for sure.
I've been there, and I know. All right. Great job. Thank you, my friend. You be safe out there. And
yeah, man.
Talk to you
next month. You too. Thanks so much for having me. Good talk to you. Okay,
Dean. Good night. All right. The one and only Dean Henderson. We will be right back with hour number two and a lot of information coming right around the corner.